Wednesday. This is Wednesday, May the 5th, 2010, and we got a big show lined up tonight here on CKLN FM in Toronto, 88.1 FM. To start off, we're going to be talking about the labor pandemonium is about to break out at U of T as the administration refuses to honor a contract agreement with workers. We're going to be interviewing Prasanna Nanayakara of the Unite Here Union to talk about this looming strike at 89 Chestnut. And also coming up today, we've got some clips from the big weekend that was in Toronto, from the Toronto Freedom Fest. We've got a clip featuring Mark Emery, and then also we've got some clips from the Architects and Engineers from 9/11 Truth event that took place on the weekend. So big things lined up today and a whole lot more. We got the G20 coming to Toronto, and we've got some clips from the town hall and more coming up on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m. So to start off with, before we get to our first guest, we're just going to play here a quick clip from the man of one of the men in the headlines today, Karlheinz Schreiber. Just a throwback clip here while we get our guest on the air. Karlheinz Schreiber has been sentenced to 8 years for tax evasion in Germany, the German-Canadian arms lobbyist. Well, in case you don't remember the Karlheinz Schreiber Mulroney inquiry, here's a quick clip of the important stuff that was discussed then.
Would have been a success, and I would have been able to get this amount of exports for Canada, $360 billion. Can you imagine how happy people would be today if they would have that kind of jobs? What are you talking about?
And you would be very happy and an extraordinarily rich man, would you not?
Oh, absolutely. But right. People know that personally I don't care too much about money. But what are we talking about?
You don't care about money. You
not
didn't care
much.
About the $1.8 billion.
No, I could have helped a lot of with that. Even from the interest, I could have financed the Christ Social Unions for the next 500 years. Look, you speak about the world you don't know about.
Mr. Schreiber, had you ever disclosed before you gave evidence before me that you stood to make $1.8 billion if things had come together? Have you ever disclosed that to anyone at any time?
Commissioner, I never run around and tell people what business I do. The Canadian officials or the German officials have seized my homes, have all my documents. And since they are able to read, they could read by themselves what it is. I'm not running around and advertising my business.
So the Word of Mouth Wednesday. So we're back here. That was just a quick clip there from the big headlines today with Karlheinz Schreiber being sentenced. And so that was from the Mulroney Schreiber inquiry. We're talking about big money situations there with an arms lobbyist now in jail in Germany. But, you know, that's an international issue. So what we're going to do, start off here on Word of Mouth Wednesday, broadcasting here on Community Radio in Toronto, is to talk about a local issue. And who we have on the line right now is a spokesperson talking with us about the situation with Unite Here, Local 75, and the situation at the 89 Chestnut residence near the University of Toronto. And I'd like to welcome to the Word of Mouth Wednesday Prasanna Nanayakara. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for appearing on the show. And just to fill in our listeners on what's going on, what is the situation?
The situation is actually, you know, that we start, you know, negotiation with the UFT Toronto, right? So actually, we are currently in the negotiation with the University of Toronto to get new collective agreement. And the university is disrespecting, you know, actually disrespecting me and my fellow co-workers, mostly immigrant of colors, and by refusing to honor the terms of the previous contract, you know. So our contract has a wage reopener clause that they said that while we are here at 89 Chestnut, would get at least 10% raises over the length of the agreement. The raises will be re-evaluated to too much the raises received by the CUBE and the USW union members once the contract got settled. So CUBE and USW got the annual increase of 12.5, and we are reactive to 2.5.
I see. So what you're saying is that the other unions like QP and the USW, United Steelworkers, have already got this increase. So the Unite here is looking for a similar increase.
Yeah, this is all about a previous contract, because we already negotiated them we're supposed to get 2.5 raises, but we haven't got anything. That's what we opened the reopener. And it is not right, because this university thinks it can disrespect its immigrant workers by breaking its promises to them. 20 different nationalities are represented by the 92 workers at 89 Chestnut. We came to Canada for a better life, not to be treated like a second class members of the university community. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, because we know a bit about U of T. It's a famous university here in Toronto. But what is the building 89 Chestnut?
89 Chestnut is a resident of the university. All the students come from all over the world. They stay there. So we do. We do about functions, and we also do breakfast, lunch, dinner. We have like 89 members.
Wow,
89 Chestnut, yeah.
And is it still? I guess so. It's a residence, so I guess a lot of the students would be away. But is it still away for the summer? Or I guess it's exams now. But is it still an active building in the summer?
Actually, right now most of the students have gone. Mm-hmm. So right now we have bed and breakfast. We open for the. Anybody can come and stay there,
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's so tourists and stuff would be in.
Yeah.
So I guess if this labor dispute doesn't work out, is there a possibility of a strike?
I think so. Yeah, that's what we're gonna do. If they don't respect us, we had to do something, right? So we had to, go with street fighting. We had to do something for, convince them, because they don't respect us. So we had to do something to, achieve our goal. Because this is our money they're holding, 2.5. This is all about previous contract. Because we haven't even talked about the present contract yet. So we're only asking the money they owe us, just give us, that's it. Pretty simple, right? So they are coming up with something university, claim that the hands are tied by the upcoming provincial legislation, mandating public sector wages freezes. Mr. Ryan, from the president of the Ontario Federation of Labour, came to the bargaining session with the letter from Deputy Minister of the Finance. His name is Rapport. And the employee represented by the bargaining agent, the government will respect all the current collective agreement. That's what they said. So it feels too bad. They are not honoring our collective agreement, So even this one nothing to do with the present thing. This is all about past. This contract signed by the 3 years ago.
Wow! So these are some big things, and hopefully U of T is paying attention to this situation, and hopefully they'll come around. There is some movements though that we're seeing with labor, and I know this was a big weekend with having on Saturday was May 1st. Were you involved at any of the May Day rallies at all, or? On the weekend.
We haven't involved yet, but in the future we're going to see how they come, then we're going to react,
Mm-hmm.
So we will see what's going to be, So we're trying to negotiate with them, but they don't come up with a good attitude,
Right, and I just see I've got this press release right here, and it says that Unite here is going to hold a press conference on May the 7th.
That's right. Yeah. We're going to have a press conference on May 7th at 89 Chestnut.
Okay, great.
4 o'clock. Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. So I guess we'll try to get some more information there, and then we'll keep on looking out on the situation. Thanks a lot, Prasanna Nayak Kara, for talking with us.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
That was Prasanna Nayak Kara of the Unite Here, Local 75, the union representing the workers of 89 Chestnut that are looking for the money that they are owed, a retroactive 2.5% raise, which was part of their previous agreement, which I guess the U of T, the situation with the U of T administration is that there's a dispute going on, you know, so there's some things, you know, things happening all over the place. We just had the May Day weekend. We had a lot of stuff going on the weekend. We've got some clips coming up next on with Freedom Fest. We got some clips from the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth event that took place on Sunday. We got a lot of clips coming up today on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. But we'll just throw it to a quick interlude here of a track by the artist Unknown Misery. It's a song called Earth Virus with an interlude. Word of Mouth Wednesday. We'll be back. Word up, word out.
Virus infiltrating your space, invading your bloodstream till your heart gets a taste, stealing elements to which you're immune is so natural, disrupting the cycle till your mind no longer answers you. The marrow stolen from your bones, your spine no longer responds. You are no longer what you was, deleting all your mother's tongue. Memory bank robbery, identity blindfold so we couldn't see. Not a witness was able to speak. Your physical being is the land owned by your soul. Here come the colonizers, now you lost self-control. Your spirit is stolen like your immune system attack with a Trojan gigabyte infection type and fall until infection is accepted by the human life.
Okay.
They took your land. Where you from? They took your language and you don't have a tongue. Your community and where's your heart? When one's missing, everything falls apart. They took your land and where I'm from. Where's my language and the mother tongue? My community and my heart. When one's missing, everything falls apart. Logon.com, a target of the Ethernet bombs. Upload data, download the tracer. Stolen case of SIN numbers, names and the PIN number. Email attachment, open the file, virus hatches. Eventually, the computer crashes with no memory of what the past is. No folders, all drives and archives. This is what it is to colonize. Evolving is the computer virus till it becomes receptive to human tyrants. Through your iris, the bug hits your blood, streaming through your veins. Till your head enters inside your brain, till your senses go faint. Your senses go plain.
They took the land and where I'm from. They took the language and don't have a tongue. The community, the missing heart. When one's missing, everything falls apart.
We make it crumble, falls apart. We make it crumble, falls apart. We make it crumble.
Fisherman's blade, fate's your mother's tongue. Generations of self-hate create mind states to be troublesome, soul signed away. Here's a contract extended in this modern day. Pressured by society, serve a pleasure with a side of pain. How would you feel if your history was concealed? And then divided your land and poisoned all your meals. Took without asking, check the scenario and tell me how you'd react. Let me cut out your heart just to make this beat. Let me scrape on your eyes so I can see what you see. Let me walk on your land before I chop off your feet. Look, I paved this road for you. Come and walk with me. When you lend me your hand, I take your palm and run. So I cover up your tracks. You can't find where you from. Teach me how to survive, and I'll teach you suicide. Help me live. I'll help you to die. Help me live. I'll help you to die. I colonize.
Colonizer. Stop colonizing. Stop lying to the youth. Stop lying to you. Yeah. And where you from? They stampede rifle chokes on dip fire darts. Sleeper cell, third eye, wide eye, sci-fi, wise guy. Nighttime star search, eyes shut, perceive the dark, eyes dirt. Kiss the angel in the sky, twist your heart and I hope to die. Stick needles in your thigh, veins remain flushed. One chases the rush, the other chases the bucks. Viruses, viruses.
American public out there with little or no net worth. I create nothing. I own. We make the rules now. News, war, peace, famine, upheaval, life, the paperclip. We pick that rabbit out of a hat where everybody stops to wonder how the hell we did it. Now, you're not naive enough to think we're living in a democracy, are you, buddy? It's the free market. I create nothing. I own.
What word? Word enough Wednesday. Back here. Word up. This is Daniel Libby on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. On for another Wednesday, you know, we're here on the 5th of May, 2010, and there it was a big weekend. And you know, I got a lot of clips here, so just to start things off, you know, I think it might be important to play an update on a situation, a major situation internationally, to do with well-known war criminals. Now, if you remember the 2009 Year in Review special or the 2009 shows that we did, interview was identified as the Word of Mouth Wednesday Interview of the Year. With Splitting the Sky. Now, Splitting the Sky was an activist who was arrested in Calgary for at a George W. Bush protest when George W. Bush was there, I believe last spring, or it might have been last summer, but it was last year, and Splitting the Sky tried to do a citizen's arrest on George W. Bush, and in the process he was arrested for as he tried to get into the event, and So we spoke with him when he was in Toronto at the Bush-Clinton rally that took place last May. So what I was able to do after the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth event in the lobby, I saw Professor Anthony J. Hall, who is a professor of globalization studies. And I think it's the University of Lethbridge in Alberta, and he's a friend of Split in the Sky, and he gave me some info. What's the latest? Here's an update here for you all on the latest on the update on Split in the Sky and his charges pending from his attempt at arresting the notorious George W. Bush. Here's Anthony J. Hall.
Huge, important day, happy occasion for the 9/11 Truth Movement. I'd heard Richard Gage a couple of times, but I had never heard David Ray Griffin speak in person. He is an intellect of huge proportions, very succinct, made the case vis-a-vis the war, the invasion of Afghanistan, presented a really tight account of the illegality involved in that war in Afghanistan, exposing just the poverty, the complete moral bankruptcy, intellectual bankruptcy, the betrayal of our intellectuals, the betrayal in our universities, the betrayal in the media, not only mainstream media, but alternative media like The Nation, like Zed Magazine, like Huffington Post, really deep corruption and intellectual rot, but it was such a counteraction to that tonight, to hear this level of intelligence from these very well-spoken intellectuals and investigative reporters on the central issue of our times, really, that 9/11 so encapsulates the corruption, the intellectual corruption, and that's why it was referred to again and again as the Achilles heel.
Great, and we're at the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth event, and we're speaking with Professor Anthony J. Hall. And the last time I actually spoke with you was at the Bush-Clinton rally, and we were talking about Splitting the Sky a bit. Is there any updates on what's Splitting
the Sky? Yeah, well, the trial took place in Calgary. One of the tragedies, I think, for the progressive movement in Canada was that when Splitting the Sky was here at Toronto at the Bush-Clinton event, the organizers of the event refused to allow him to speak on the podium. So here we are all saying, arrest Bush, the one person in the country and the world who tried it, was kept off the podium. Happens to be a Mohawk Indian person. Was it out-and-out racism? Are Indians just supposed to talk about treaties and land claims and such? Anyway, the trial took place, and because here in Toronto there hadn't been a proper information sharing about what it was, there wasn't anywhere near the focus there should have been. It was covered up in the Alberta media. Nevertheless, Cynthia McKinney came in, and we did a 14-part YouTube. You can easily find it. It's Splitting the Sky. Cynthia McKinney meets Splitting the Sky. And it is a really important discussion of, you know, the life and death issues of our time by a leading Black American activist, politician, former congresswoman, who, you know, brings all of that experience, meets Splitting the Sky, a leading American Indian movement activist. So check that out on YouTube.
What happened in the trial?
The trial, it's on June the 7th, there's going to be the verdict. So we don't know what the verdict is. We don't know if there's going to be sentencing. Cynthia McKinney came in to give evidence. I was supposed to give evidence. Neither of us were able to give evidence. Ramsey Clark, I've been speaking with Ramsey Clark. He's been speaking a lot with Splitting the Sky. He really wants to come in. This is a former Attorney General of the United States. There's many, many issues involved, but the cover-up in Alberta is really, really mind-boggling. There's quite a big interest in this internationally. And so that's coming up on June the 7th. Looks like Ramsey Clark will come into Calgary. He wants to speak to the judge. Tracy Davis is the prosecutor. It was sort of a public relations event for the police, the way the actual trial went.
So that was a bit of an interview there. A few questions with the professor Anthony J. Hall about the situation. And we got, I was following the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth event that took place at the University of Toronto on Sunday. And then I got to ask Anthony J. Hall about Splitting the Sky, who is a Mohawk activist who, you know, actually tried to arrest George Bush. You know, and he's saying that the verdict of the trial is going to be sometime in June, early June. So we're going to keep an ear out. We're going to keep an eye open to try to find out, you know, what's going to happen here. You know, it, maybe if the other media isn't covering it, then, you know, they can do whatever they want. But here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, we are going to take note of important activism going on, and we aren't going to forget about George W. Bush. You know, just because there is a new face on the American imperialism doesn't mean that George W. Bush has disappeared. He's actually going around the world. Well, he can't really go around the world, but he goes around to, you know, Canada, England, and Australia on speaking tours and stuff. So George W. Bush is still around. He's still he's cashing in on his presidency with those speaking tours. So we're going to keep an eye open and ear open, and you know, we're going to keep following the controversial activism, and what could be more controversial than the Toronto Freedom Festival? That's right, a festival dedicated to freedom, and it took place on Saturday in Queen's Park North, and it was a large attendance. I was there pretty much all afternoon, into the evening, and you know, I got to I got a lot of audio, so we're gonna have some clips to play here. I think maybe to start off with might be a good time to play an interview here with a journalist, Sydney White, who is also runs a program, Monday nights in the spring and fall. I guess she's running a studies and propaganda course at U of T, or a lecture night that's free of charge. But she'll give you those kind of details in this interview. So we get into talking a bit about some conspiracies and stuff. So this one will be an interesting one here. That's why I want to play it to start off with, and we'll get into the Freedom Fest stuff. But here is an interview with Sydney White, who got to speak at the Conspiracy Hour stage, at the speaker stage at Queen's Park North on the weekend. Well, here's when I got to speak with Sydney White. Here's what we were talking about.
There's there's conspiracies all the time. I mean, H.G. Wells said if there weren't any, that would be odd. It's just a group of people getting together, one or two or any number, and deciding to screw some other people around. That's it.
In your speech at the Conspiracy Culture Hour, did you mention that you used to work for the UN?
Yes, I started out in 1956 at the age of 18 in the press department of the UN, yes. And after my kids were grown up, I went back to the UN in 86 and did a few more contracts there. And aside from that, I've always been an investigative reporter. And I teach studies in propaganda. And of course, I'm supposed to be controversial. But the truth is controversial. And as I tell the people that come to my lectures, you will lose your innocence here. And it has nothing to do with your sex life. It has to do with what you believe and all the myths they've taught you over the years, supposedly during your education. You will find out differently here, but if facts confuse you and they upset you, don't come.
You mentioned you're working in studies and propaganda. What do you think that there is, like in the modern day times, what's the major force for propaganda, do you think, is going on?
The major force?
Yeah.
Please throw out your goddamn television and read a few books. And don't make it the babysitter of your kids, for God's sake.
You mentioned that you're doing the lectures at U of T. What are those all about?
Well, 10 years ago, the university came to a group of professional people who were also alumni and asked us if we would like to give back to the community according to our different professions. So I said I would. That was 10 years ago. Since I'm an investigative journalist, I called my course Studies in Propaganda, and it's a free course. So for the last 10 years, I have done 10 Monday nights in the spring, 10 Monday nights in the fall. So anyone who wants to come to that lecture can come to room 1180 at 40 St. George Street at 6 p.m. And you don't even have to sign in. You can even give a phony name. Who cares? You're welcome.
We got a lot of stuff going on here, and we're at the Freedom Fest. Do you have any thoughts on the marijuana prohibition?
Oh, it's absolutely silly. In the 30s, people were growing their own pot and little things on their windowsills in the 30s. Musicians were smoking it and growing it. But when they found out it was very hard to tax it, they decided to make it illegal. That's what happened there. It's all about money.
Yeah, and that's why it's great to, we've got the Freedom Festival, a free event, and then you're hosting the free events at U of T, talking about a lot of conspiracies. You know, there's actually an event I'm going to check out tomorrow at U of T. It's got to do with architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. Do you have any comments on the 9/11 Truth movement?
I think we need that Truth movement because some papers here, and I won't say which papers, that are supposed to be alternate, would no longer advertise my lectures after they found out I did one on 9/11. So it's a no-no. It's verboten and all over North America. So yes, it should be talked about, and sooner or later the truth will get out.
For sure, and one of the media sources we're looking at for the truth is the Toronto Street News. Do you have any comments on that, the Toronto Street News?
I write articles for the Toronto Street News. I wrote a good one on fluoride and what's in your taps, okay? Think about that and do something about it before we're all drinking out of the tap, you know? Vancouver doesn't have it. Montreal doesn't have it. We've had fluoride and 16 other chemicals since 63. And if your kid is growing up on it, between when he's born and when he's 10 years old, he's going to lose about 8 points of his IQ.
Right, yeah, we're getting a lot of truth here at Freedom Fest. And do you want to just give the details of your events at U of T?
Yeah, we're halfway through the term. I do 10 Monday nights. So Monday, May the 3rd, I'll be doing a lecture on mass mind control, including the history of MKUltra and whether it's dead or not. And that will be in room 1180 at the Behen Center, 40 St. George at 6 p.m.
Word up, word of mouth. We're back here. This is CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, and we're broadcasting here some clips. You just heard a bit of an interview there with Sydney White, who's got those lectures at U of T, and I guess the one about mass mind control just took place on Monday. I wasn't able to make it, but I am planning to check it out eventually. I think the next one's going to be on 9/11 next Monday. But there is, I think there's three or four more left for the spring. But you can find the info online if you search Sydney White or Studies in Propaganda at the U of T. You can find that info of where her free course is or her free lectures are. And, you know, last week we had the feature interview with the keynote speaker of the Freedom Festival. We had him live on air, Mark Emery. And we spoke with Mark Emery about, you know, he was in Vancouver at that point, but he was planning to make his way to Toronto, and he made it. He was there on Saturday. So this next clip here is an important one that we're going to play. This is my free Mark Emery segment that I've edited. So here you're going to hear some highlights from the Freedom Fest, which took place at the Queen's Park North on the weekend. And included in this, you're going to hear the song Money or Love by Socrates, who was the performer on the main stage, Socrates, the headline performer. So you're going to hear a live recording of that track in this clip. You know, just because I thought the Money or Love theme is a important one when we're talking about Mark Emery, who is in serious trouble with the U.S. authorities, but he's for the things the U.S. wants him for are that, you know, he wouldn't be charged in Canada. It's not, he didn't do anything illegal in Canada, but he did in America. So they've you know, crossed the borders and they're after him here. So Mark Emery was able to speak, and he even mentioned in the interview last week that he had to get special permission to attend the Freedom Fest from the courts. So he was able to leave British Columbia, Vancouver area, and get into Toronto. He was there Saturday, and here is that clip. So featuring a few clips, highlights of the event, and then it's also featuring the closing speech, the speech of Mark Emery, free Mark Emery.
In the history of Canada, there has never been 40,000 people simultaneously for a period of 6 to 7 hours breaking federal law. Just never has happened.
Is Mark Emery the guy who was selling seeds?
Yeah.
I don't think the guy was doing nothing wrong. I mean, selling a natural substance that grows out of the soil in the earth couldn't be wrong, unless it could technically kill you, and a marijuana seed is in no way harmful or dangerous. So
I think he should not be extradited. I think he should be staying here.
Anybody got any BC out in the crowd? See me after the show. You want some tunes? Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, please welcome to the stage Socrates! Again, Freedom Festival, if you're out there and you're feeling it today, the sun has come up, say yeah!
Being ever be engaged in commerce. Only a fiction can deal with a fiction.
Conspiracy is very real.
How many people here know 9/11 is an inside job? Everybody? Yeah?
Yeah.
We think of totalitarianism, we think of Stalin and Mao and Hitler. But it exists today, although now it wears an Armani suit.
The first time I was in this park was 1968, being trampled by RCMP horses, and I had two small kids with me, objecting to Vietnam.
Because money doesn't exist. You are the currency.
For worse or better, is it? You're a wild out to get you, is it? For worse or better, is it? Wild out.
They're known as PressForTruth.ca.
A good example is in the case with Mark Emery. Mark has had a seed-selling business here in Canada. He's very successful. His company was completely legal here. However, recently Mark has been arrested and charged by the American authorities, even though he's a Canadian citizen and he hasn't broken any of our laws. Now, this basically sets a precedent, and it's a very slippery slope where we could start to lose more of these types of freedoms under something that is referred to as the North American Union.
It's important to maintain sovereign borders in our countries. It's important to maintain different rules because of this whole thing with, you know, Mark Emery. You know, generations of people have all fought for freedom, and generations before us have fought for their freedoms at the blade of a sword, the tip of an arrow, or the barrel of a gun. And today, we can fight for our freedoms at the barrel of a lens. We no longer need to go out in violent means.
Do you have any thoughts on the marijuana prohibition?
Oh, it's absolutely silly. In the 30s, people were growing their own pot. Musicians were smoking it and growing it. But when they found out it was very hard to tax it, they decided to make it illegal. That's what happened there. It's all about money.
I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of children who have records just because of a silly little, you know, pot charge. The amount of money that's spent on people in the prisons, the very fact that no one in the history has ever died. In fact, you could say it's safer than our very own drinking water. There's proof of that because of the 7 people who died in Wakerton because of the E. coli poisoning. So it's literally safer than drinking water.
And we have to remember how special this is, what we're doing here, and how so many other people in our country and around the world have never had a chance to experience the kind of freedom and the kind of openness that we're experiencing here.
This is the largest gathering of outlaws that we have ever seen in 140 years of Confederation. We've got mass civil disobedience here, and why are we getting away with it? I mean, think of that. Ontario legislature, screw it, we had thousands of people smoking on Parliament Hill on 420. On 420 in Vancouver, we had 8,000 people smoking for 10 hours straight in the main square of the city. We are proving that the law is an ass. If you don't have the right to decide what to put in your own body, what to do with your own body, then you are not a free person. You're a slave who's given permission every now and then to make your own decisions. Are you a slave? And this is what you must know. Marijuana was never made illegal because it was bad for you. It's not bad for you. Everybody knows that. That's not why it's made illegal. It's made illegal precisely because it is good for you. Marijuana takes that hypocrisy, that veil of hypocrisy that exists all throughout society. All those people who want unquestioning obedience to you. All the people who are taught to respect as authority figures. You realize that they're paper tigers. They wear no clothes. And what the government fears the most are two groups of people. Journalists and citizens that ask questions, because both people are in pursuit of the truth. And the government is all about lies, deception, and concealment, and punishment. It's not about the truth. It's not about telling the people the way it really is. It's not about government for the people, by the people. It's government oppressing the people. And the only way we can keep the government in line if we continue to be free-thinking citizens. And that's what marijuana does. You know, from 1980 to 1991, there was not a single marijuana rally in all of Canada for 11 years. And in that time, they banned all the books about marijuana and all the magazines about marijuana. And the first rally was held of any size in 1993 in downtown Vancouver. And since then, this country has had rallies regularly for the last 17 years. And look how far we've come. Because people got involved. People just showed up. Man, so much of history is changed by people who just show up. Just make an appearance.
Just show up to vote. It's like 2 hours. Show up to a rally. Just make an appearance. You'll be amazed at what happens. My name is Mark Emery. Some people in media call me the Prince of Pot. There's a great movie about me called The Prince of Pot. You can see it on YouTube, and I hope you will support me. You know, in the next 10 days, I could get extradited to the United States for my activity on behalf of the movement. And if you don't think it's political, you should go and see what the head of DEA wrote the day they arrested Mark Scott Emery, a.k.a. The Prince of Pot. She said it was all about the politics. They can't stand my magazine, Cannabis Culture. They didn't like the fact that hundreds of thousands of dollars were going to legalization groups. And they mentioned that in their indictment against me. All that money going to free the people, free the weed. So I might need your help. If I get extradited, I want you to make one hell of a lot of noise and bring me back. I respect our American brothers and sisters who are fighting for our freedom in the very same way in California and every one of the 50 United States. Believe me, I represent them as well as I represent you. But I am Canadian. I did all this here. I did it proudly. I should be judged by my own peers in my own country with a Canadian judge in a Canadian courtroom. And I was not. I was railroaded by our government, so if they send me away, I want you to bring me back. And thank you for listening to me, and thank you for being there for all those years, and thanks for being part of my life last 20 years. Man, we have grown as a culture in unbelievable strides. It's been nothing like it. This was the greatest rally, and thank you for listening to me. My name is Mark Emery, and I hope I'll see you next year.
Free Mark Emery. Free Mark Emery. Word up, word of mouth. We're back here on the show, and that was just a clip there from the Freedom Fest that took place on Saturday, May the 1st. Queen's Park North was transformed for one day, of freedom at the Freedom Fest. And you just heard there the voice of Mark Emery closing off that segment, talking about the pursuit of freedom and his own personal ordeals going on with the threats of extradition and legal issues going on, the quest for legalization of marijuana. And, you know, there's so much stuff going on these days. We've just had the major economic thing... happen in Greece, the bailout of Greece, and you know that's in the hundreds of billions of dollars. So the situation with the global economy is shaky. Now what we're also seeing in Greece is major protests. You know, they've been going on for a few months, but I guess since May Day, since the weekend, it's been heating up with the austerity measures. And, you know, violence is going on now in Greece. I guess the austerity measures were a major attack on the pensions of public workers, cutting those fairly substantially. We just hope that this isn't a foreboding of what's going to happen worldwide. But that is a major prediction by some economists, that this sovereign debt crisis is not solely linked to Greece, but is actually, you know, throughout the... The whole situation, and we're going to get into this a bit later when we start talking about the G20. But I just wanted to play another clip here because as I was on at Saturday at the Freedom Fest, I had the press pass and I was covering the event, so it was a big day. But then the next day on the Sunday, May the 2nd, there was the event at U of T, which I also covered. That was the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and it featured both Richard Gage, who was the founder of the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and the Dr. David Ray Griffin, who was speaking mostly actually on the war in Afghanistan. And you know that all relates to September 11th, because that war was launched a few weeks after the September 11th attacks. Well, here is a bit of Dr. David Ray Griffin speaking on the war in Afghanistan, just to give you a taste of what it was like in case you didn't make it out, although there was a few hundred people there at the U of T building that it was in, at the Faculty of Music building, where the talk was held on Sunday night. But in case you didn't make it, well, here is a bit of David Ray Griffin on the war in Afghanistan.
Questions to ask about the war in Afghanistan. One that is being widely asked is whether it will turn out to be Obama's Vietnam. This question implies another. whether this war is even winnable or whether it will be a quagmire like Vietnam. A question motivated by the widespread agreement that the government under Hamid Karzai is at least as corrupt and incompetent as the government that we tried to prop up for 20 years in South Vietnam. There are many other similarities, but there's also one big difference. This time, there is no draft in the United States. If there were a draft so the college students and their friends back home were being sent to Afghanistan and coming home in boxes or with post-traumatic stress syndrome and committing suicide or with permanent injuries, there would be demonstrations on campuses all across the United States. It's often asked, did we learn any of the lessons of Vietnam? Our government learned one. If you're going to have an unpopular war, don't have a draft. Hire mercenaries.
So that was a bit of the controversial Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth event that took place on Sunday night. And at the end of that short clip there, you heard David Roy Griffin talk about the private contractors. And this is going to be a segue into our next issue here, because we've got some clips here on the G20. Now, last week there was a G20 town hall meeting, and it featured a representative of the Toronto Police Force, as well their corporate liaison of the Toronto Police Force, as well as two city councilors, Pam McConnell and Adam Vaughn. And actually, you know who was in attendance was the Press for Truth team. And I actually got to interview on the weekend. Press for Truth was able to speak at the Conspiracy Culture Hour. And I got to interview Dan Dix after his speech. But we don't have enough time this week, so we're going to save that clip for next week. But what I do have is a clip of another member of Press for Truth who, along with Dan Dix, they've been working on the United We Fall movie, along with Dan Dix and Brian Law, is Stephen Davies. Stephen Davies is in this clip at the G20 town hall, and you know, he starts to ask about something that connects maybe with those private contractors that we're
reported that up to 1,000 private security officers are also going to be partaking in this security at the G20. Do these private security, will they have the same powers that police have? And then also, how do we hold private security members accountable, say an abuse of power situation arises?
I can't really disclose police strength and other people that are being utilized, but I can tell you this. Police officers, again, like internationally protected people, are a very crystal clear designation in law in this country, and only they have the special powers and authority to do things, and private security don't have those powers. And if they are utilized, they have been used at the Olympics and that, they're being very different roles than the actual police roles, and they'll be held accountable.
Can you discuss kind of what level the private security will be used? Is it just more?
Unfortunately, no, I can't.
I see. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. The news report to which you're speaking, I think, was posted on the federal government website as a procurement for a contract for services, and I think it spoke to 1,300 security guards that would be primarily doing wanding duties. That's the public disclosure based on the contract that was being let. That's the extent of the information that we have. And beyond that, it's you're not going to get details like that out of a forum like this.
Right. Thank you.
But I think that it's clear that policing duties will be only done by police officers, and they will be their sworn officers.
So that was that's a clip there, and we're going to have some more clips coming up in future weeks as we count down to the G20, which is going to be hitting Toronto at the end of June. And you know, there is more announcements every day. We're hearing more and more about this G20 group of 20. Well, the G20 protest area has been moved to Trinity Bellwoods. Well, I guess that's where they've announced it. It's going to be in Trinity Bellwoods Park, very far away from the actual Metro Convention Center where the event's going to take place. So I'm not sure how successful they're going to be holding a protest in Trinity Bellwoods. You know, that's some of the debate that gets into at that G20 town hall meeting. You know, but I think, you know, I definitely think that the Trinity Bellwoods could possibly be a symbolic choice, and we might get into that in the future weeks. So as we count down here on G20, with the G20 coming up, and we move into special programming at the end of June for the G20, you know, there is a lot of stuff going on with these group of 20 nations. And just to give you a taste of some of what they are talking about, if you remember what I was talking about at the end of the show last week when I was mentioning the possibilities of a one world currency on the way, well, how about this? How about we get into some actual evidence? This I have found on YouTube, because on YouTube now there's a major publicity, a promotional campaign for the Council on Foreign Relations. They've got pictures of Angelina Jolie. They've got pictures of Fareed Zakaria all over YouTube, looking for you to click on the ad. Because these celebrities are members of the Council on Foreign Relations, and there's also journalists that are members, there's also world leaders, there's also politicians and business leaders, economic leaders. The Council on Foreign Relations is a major group discussing, you know, the future of the globe. Here is the head of the European Central Bank, Jean-Claude Trichet, speaking at a recent Council on Foreign Relations CFR summit. And here is what his perspective as the head of the European Central Bank, his perspective on the global economy and situations. Check this out. This is what's going on at the high level.
Which again has been prepared. It is something which didn't come as a sharp and unexpected event, because the G20 existed already. But this shift from the G7 to the G20, we owe it, it seems to me, obviously, because it was overdue, that these economies that were obviously systemic at the global level would have a full ownership of this global governance at the level of this informal grouping. I trust also that there is a second reason. Perhaps the industrialized country proved that they were quite clumsy themselves. It is of utmost importance that the new Basel rules that we are preparing, and we are in an intense phase of discussion after having had the input of the industry, and we have to engage in the impact studies to see exactly how to optimize the new rules, particularly in terms of capital requirements, in terms of liquidity monitoring, and at the global level, the same rules being applied by all. It is extremely important that we, in this new ownership of global governance, have, particularly on both sides of the Atlantic, the implementation of the same rules in the same fashion. Not to create the sentiment between us on both sides of the Atlantic that we are not in the same universe, which would be probably a very big mistake. And also, with all the friends that are coming from the emerging world, not to give the abominable example, then after having created the G20 as the prime grouping for global governance, we are clumsy enough to have difference of views and not appropriate implementation on both sides of the Atlantic. This is true for the accounting rules. We cannot afford to have significantly different rules on both sides of the Atlantic and at the global level.
Could you tell us what you see as the biggest differences between the European and American views of financial regulatory reform?
I think there is a unity of purpose, which is very big. And of course, we are in universe which structurally are very different.
So there you heard a bit of some of the high-level talks that you're hearing going on.
Enlightened sovereignty.
In the world, you know, we got this G20 coming to Toronto. You want to know what they're going to be talking about in terms of a global economic recovery. Well, you just in that clip there with the head of the European Central Bank, Jean-Claude Trichet, who's got, you know, probably got one of the big job in the world, one of the biggest jobs in the world as a head of a European Central Bank, especially now with all the stuff that's going on with the euro crisis, the crisis in the euro dollar, because Greece is connected with the euro dollar. Well, he's looking for a unity of purpose. In that clip, you heard him talking about the global governance, the idea of new rules, new regulations that they're going to be working on. Well, that just gives you just to give you a taste of what they'll talk about publicly in, as we move towards this new world order of financial reform. Now, we don't know what their regulations are going to be. We've talked a bit about this idea of the Robin Hood tax, or the tax on transactions, also known as the Tobin tax. And, you know, now if you do some research on Canada's position on that, you'll find that Canada is one of the main objectors to it. Jim Flaherty says he doesn't believe in this kind of tax, a tax on foreign currency speculations, currency speculators. So we don't know if that's going to be their answer, or if they're going to do this, what they've been hinting at for a few years now, this one world currency, which was actually introduced by the Russian President Dmitry Medvedev in 2009 at the G8 meeting in Italy, the summer of 2009. He actually pulled out a gold coin that said Unity and Diversity on it, written in English. He said it was minted in Brussels. It was a solid gold coin that he said would be a future one world currency. And then somehow it's supposed to be based on some drawing rights, special drawing rights with the World Bank, IMF, that whole setup. You know, we're going to see if they do this supranatural currency, what it's sometimes called, referred to as. Well, we started off the show with that clip of Karlheinz Schreiber talking about billions. He stood to make over $1 billion himself. He was talking about Canada could make over $300 billion if they had opened up this weapons manufacturing in the East Coast, in Cape Breton. But now that lobbyist, Karlheinz Schreiber, is in jail. He's in an 8-year sentence from the German authorities for tax evasion. So what we're seeing is that some of these top key players in the world are not immune from the law. So, you know, things are happening, and well, all around the world, they are looking for taxes. That's one thing I could see, is that a lot of almost all countries I see are raising taxes. But, you know, we got the HST coming up, 13%, and, you know, we're going to have more on that in future weeks as we count down to July 1st implementation of a 13% HST. Toronto, oh, where are you at? Ontario, word up. This is the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We've got some events to read out here. Friday, coming up this Friday, May 7th, is going to be the launch of the Dominion G8 G20 issue. It's the opening night of the Mining and Justice Conference this Friday, May the 7th at 8 p.m. Till late at the Ram and the Rye, 55 Gould Street, the corner of Church and Gould, close to here, CKLN. We're broadcasting from Ryerson University campus. And also close to here is Yonge Dundas Square. And on Saturdays, the Toronto True Seekers hold a street action. So Saturday, May 8th, look out at Yonge Dundas Square for a Toronto True Seekers street action. They might not have the table anymore, but that will not stop the truth. And we might even have more on that in future episodes, talking the story about how the table was lost. Also, next Wednesday, May the 12th, this is a major announcement. May the 12th in the morning, there will be a public hearing commencing 9:30 a.m. at the Four Point Sheraton, Toronto Airport West, at 6090 Dixie Road, 6090 Dixie Road in Mississauga, Ontario. You can check out the schedule at crtc.gc.ca, as the CRTC will be discussing the radio regulations and the future of CKLN Radio FM Incorporated. And, you know, that's going to be, you know, something to look out for, big things going on. But that just about wraps it up here for the Word of Mouth Wednesday. My name's Daniel Libby. Thanks a lot for listening. Stay peaceful, stay libertized, and, well, stay tuned to CKLN for the Blue Remedy. Coming up next, the Blues Dr. Julie Hill is back in the studio. So it's a big return at the Blue Remedy. Coming up, Word of Mouth, Word is Bond, Word out.